Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
upon a team of voices here at Poetry Group at allpoetry.com. And if you would like to follow along with us, just go to allpoetry.com, get yourself a free account, get yourself to a team of voices, go to the front door, and you will find none other than Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am very, very well. And, of course, we have to talk about the song that just led us in, which was had the lovely guitar and voice of Shout Even Shy. And she was singing the lyrics of none other than Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter, how are you?
I'm fine, everyone. Got my stick.
Very, very good. Now, we always have a theme for the week. And it was my choice of theme this week. And the theme is Venom. V-E-N-O-M. Venom. And the Venom's a fun word because it does, you know, the reason that probably we won't hear from Sweet, one of our other writers this week, is because mostly Venom is thought about in the context of snakes, spiders, or scorpions. However, and that's true, that's where venom a lot of the time is. But It is also taken to be extreme malice or bitterness in somebody's speeches or actions, says the dictionary to me. So when we're thinking about poems, as we will be, and when we're thinking about venom, you can think about coily, nasty, slithery things, or you can think about the broader world of venom and what that means. So there we go. That's my introduction to the wonderful world of venom. And I should also say it is brilliant because we have some strong supporters, one of whom is Gonzo, and we have this week his slightly delayed part of his five-part series. And so, you know, he does a wonderful production, of his
book.
We should have
a specific time. We should have a specific time for him, for those.
Well, I always thought that we should do it sort of halfway through the show, Hatter. And I think today will be an hour and a bit sort of length. And so we'll probably do the piece that we've been sent by Gonzo, I think somewhere around the midway point. So if you're listening, Gonzo, that's when that's when we'll be. And
I want to admit too that he gets a kick out of being the halftime show. So
well, there you
just saying.
Hey, I don't want to read mine after him. After that.
Well, no. But Hatter, that's okay, because you can go early. You know, you don't have to go. And none of us would be able to compete with what Gonzo does and how he does it. So if you do have a
book
that you want to put up on the board, only thing I say, potentially, we've got a poem from Stephen, but I'm not sure if Stephen's joining us. So if Stephen joins us, you know, we might have to spin that poem in quickly. But
Dorian?
Yep.
Adorian.
In your hands. So, do you want to put your palm up on the board first, Hatter?
I'm running down the hall as we speak to go get it.
Oh, you're collecting it. Okay.
Yeah, it's posted. I just didn't put it with the group for the show. I apologize for that. I should have done that.
Oh, okay.
Copy. And running back down the hall. We've got to get a shorter hall or put closer together.
Good, you know, thump. That's all good.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, pasted it, but that's the right place.
Oh. Yeah, well, the fingers crossed, the right group, which is a team of voices for those people who are listening in on allpoetry.com. So, and
there it is.
I see a poem that has been copied called Venom Tree. Hatter.
Yeah, that's it. Venom Tree.
Okay.
It's on the chat. You already got it there? All right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Venom Tree. Well, just for the habit. Boom. Okay. Uh-huh. And there it is. Yeah, okay. Venom Tree. Goes like this. I watched the dark grow to a tree. I held the moon to set the sun free. I ate the venom that cursed my dreams. It swirled to a bush inside of me. The light missed the day and not making a sound. It heard my voice scream underground. I followed the path down on my knees, trying to catch what you thought of me. The dark turned to watch the light disappear. It took all I have and left me the fear. The poison bush grew one fruit it wore. The silence looked up, wanting it a bit more. Collecting what matters and leaving the rest, climbing the ladders to empty the nest. Mwah.
Well, that spoke to you.
I know, sort of scattered.
No, but it did speak to you. And the reason I say that is because I like that you ate the venom that cursed my dreams. It swirled to a bush inside of me. I think it's really fun. Really interesting way to talk about venom and to talk about that sort of anger and sort of darkness and nastiness that can come.
Read the next line after the I ate the curse, I ate the venom?
The light, the next, it swelled to a bush inside of me.
See, okay, he said it too, huh, Deb? Okay.
See, yep.
Yeah, she did. Okay.
There was a Deb, you
know,
talking to Adam.
I wrote
yes.
Swole. I wrote a swole to a bush. Swole's not a
yeah.
word.
No, it's not.
When I was writing it, and I read it, swell didn't sound right in my own ear. It didn't sound right. So
yeah, it's interesting,
that,
isn't
that,
it?
That sounded right when you said it, so I'll change it.
Okay.
It swelled.
Deb, what did you want to say about Hatter's poem?
No, I was saying the same thing that you did. It's an awesome poem, but when I repeated the line, I said swelled. I think it sounds fine, but I like the depth of the fact that, like you said, it wasn't just a snake bite or something. This is more like it spread like venom. It was more of a simile type of thing. I thought it was quite brilliant, actually. As soon as he fixes that word, it'll be perfect.
Well, I think it needs to be tweaked. I didn't do a final edit, you know, going over it.
No. Don't tweak it, Hatter. It's a great poem. Just fix the
no,
soul.
No.
No. I already saved it. It's a great poem. Just get rid of Swole and you're in like Flint.
I want to be Flint. Okay.
Well, don't be freaking Flint then.
Another option, Hatter. Another option, because I do understand you wanting to get the O sound in there. Yeah. Because swelled sort of doesn't. It's sort of a tight word. It doesn't. Swole sort of it opens out. You know, so it gives you that sense of the word. Sort of. I kind of like proud. Because it gives you that same sort of open sort of sound. While the swelled sort of stops, proud sort of opens. So just a thought.
What's what word? What word?
Proud. PROWLED. Like a lion.
Proud. Okay. Oh.
Anyway, just.
Proud, like a cat
proud
in the mouth.
Yeah, it's like a more open word. Swelled sort of stops. It's a more closed word, whereas swole is an open word. Proud's an open word. That was my thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it was, it sagged in my head. It just didn't sound right when I said it, but it did when you guys read it. It just sounded fine. So
yeah, but it's still a closed word, and what you were trying to do there, I think, was open it. That's why I was trying to think of something that had a similar sort of feel to it. So
you know how this all started. I sat there and I said, I heard the voice scream. The voice heard. I screamed underground. Was this what
right.
I did earlier today? That got stuck in my head. I screamed underground. Something heard me scream underground. And I said, "You know what?
Yep.
I write that in a poem. A.P. Taylor and my sister Deborah Lee are going to go. That's pretty cool." But it sort of took a backseat the way I cut it up. That's how it all started. I go,
no,
"Oh, venom."
the scream underground to me had the same kind of feel where I would have. Wrote, I screamed into my pillow type of thing, that muffled, trying to hide it underground. Anyway, that's what that part said to me, hiding that scream.
There you go. So, well done, Hatter. I think you got that across the line quite nicely, so thank you.
Hey, homework was done. Cool.
So, no, that was very good. Not just done, but done with flying colors. Well done.
Thank you.
So happy that Muse is back in touch.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A couple of times.
A little bit. It felt good.
Back in the house, which is nice to see. The Muse has been back in the house.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating than needing and having to write and you just can't. Everything was generic and you know, oh, couldn't get anything out. Roses are red, violets are blue.
No, it's horrible. Horrible feeling, Hatter. I completely agree. It just, and there's no point trying to force it. The more you force it, the worse it is, you know.
Well, yeah, and then you try going, okay, well, I'll try going a little darker. Maybe something will pop up. And then, you know, then you're in, and it's going, oh, God, I can't write that. I can't say that. Darker side.
Yeah.
Darker side of town.
Right. Yeah, no, you just start completely. Now, Deb, you have put one of your pieces up on the board, and I have put it up on the board for you. Hello, Deb.
Deb, did we lose her?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Unmuted.
Yeah.
I think I just spoke to the mute button. Hatter, your nemesis has arrived.
Yeah. The Guardian. Guardian of Assassin. What are they Guardian of?
The Guardian of the Indians.
Lemonade!
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Okay. The Guardian, I saw him in the uniform today. Remember. How are they going to get the hat to say the football team from Washington, or Washington's football team, wherever they go? They haven't picked a name yet. And I hope they don't. I hope they keep the team from Washington.
I thought they did choose one. I thought they did.
What
Commanders,
something.
Washington Commanders?
The Nationals or something like that?
No, that's the baseball team. Oh, I guess they could have the same team, huh? I mean, same name. Like the Cardinals, they were St. Louis Cardinals, were both football and baseball.
Well, I told them.
I'm sorry, the Washington Commanders.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it was the person from Australia who actually said that correctly. That noted.
Manders? Manders?
Commanders.
Oh, Commanders.
Yes.
Go ahead, Steven.
All they would have had to do was put a picture of a redskin potato on the side of the helmet, and they could have stayed the Washington Redskins.
Washington Pontiac.
Red, Red onion.
Yeah, we could have done any of that.
And you,
the Washington Melons.
The Indians, the tribes, they were proud to be represented as a football team, just like they tried to take away the Apache and the Apache longbow and the helicopters that we have. They said, no, we're proud to have represented something so powerful. I don't think there was anybody that was offended. I know
it. For good or bad, they've changed their name. It's now the Commanders. They could have been the Washington Tomatoes. That would have been appropriate for the last few years.
Well, why don't we get rid of the word entirely? If they were offended that the team was called the Indians, then any time you say Indian, it must be offended. Somebody must be offended, because that's the ridiculous argument. There's nothing offensive.
Hi,
okay.
Hatter.
They've changed it. Bad luck. It's now Commanders.
Sorry.
Anyway. It sort of sounds like something. Stephen, Commanders. The Klingons, vessels, all that stuff. Anyway.
Klingons would be good. I know the banana slugs would have been better.
Now, Stephen, we have put your poem on the board, which is I Am the Poison Sherlock Holmes. And so if you would like to read it, we are here and listening.
Okay. I a while back in our room, we did a show on a movie called DOA, starring Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan.
Yes.
And I wrote this actually while we were watching the movie, so a lot of the imagery is directly from what I was seeing on the screen. So I call this "I Am the Poisoned Sherlock Holmes." Light flashes in black and white, rain-saturated streets. Death spreads through veins not small enough to stop destroying Yuletide ornaments. Reiteration with haste, Reaper stands in shadow, ignite nicotine fog, records recorded regularly. Nourisher of minds, charismatic unwinds, you've got mail, egotistical binds, slumbering student whines. Jealousy fuels ego, peers don't mess, dislike. Window of soul shattered, life plummets to concrete. Too soon for a pun? Culkin not here to kill smile. Nostalgia cannot rewind and grins disintegrate, revealing angst alone under mistletoe. Glitzy party, potent potables polished promptly. Staggering embarrassment, suicide won't stop progress. I will leave you buried under the sea. Drunken beggar with 80-proof tears. Each memory running down cheekbone but puddling in the mouth to be recycled. Unfaithfully undulating with underling, but blackout blanks the brain. Divorce divides dying darlings. Crimson test revealing toxin, eternal sleep imminent. Who and how, why and where? Sprinting feet, dashing through streets, inner heart weeps. Wavering wife murdered by memory. Offender opted to avoid ocular option. Assistance from unlikely aides adhesive. Santa slyly staring down slip. Sport coat inside out. Urine voided behind trash receptacle. Accusatory actions disrupt dinner. Murder misses with Danny's defense. Movie magic missiles. Does burning tape have no odor? That's the way the cookie crumbles, drowned in obsidian oatmeal. LSD tracers show end is near. Solving own murder won't happen, I fear. But what to my wondering eyes should appear? It's Meg and not reindeer. There's always time for release. Obese opera aria about to start. Confronted callous countess confesses, but to another. Sends bullet through own body. Push pages in poignant impatience. Truth told in tumbler. A friend indeed will make you bleed. The last drops of rain I will ever see as he's sent to the sidewalk with speed. The color fades to black and white, saturated pavement and flashing lights. Something given my last rites. Dying awakened the old me, and for that I must thank you. Time to meet my God with haste. End poem.
Now, I've never seen that movie before, Stephen, and I feel I have now, but I've never seen the movie before. But I think you do a fine job of taking us through the emotions that are in that movie. I can't tell you exactly what's happened, but I can tell you the emotions of it, and that's kind of cool. So I'm going to head to Hatter. Hatter, what did you think of Stephen's piece?
There's a lot here. I was trying to follow what was the actual... like you said, you were watching the movie, so I'm assuming it had some effect, some part that was inspired by the movie. I haven't seen it, but I could imagine Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan. You have mail. Wasn't that Sleepless in Seattle or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. You have mail? Was one of them in there in that? Was Meg Ryan in there?
Meg Ryan was in You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes.
God. Yeah. God, I haven't seen any of those movies. Sorry, I knew it. Drunken Beggar with 80 Proof Tears. The Pudding in Mouth. Puddling in Mouth to be recycled. Blackout. Lakes Bread. This is what I have to sit down and dissect. How much was it? How much was inspired by the movie? You say you were. I mean, that'd be hard not to have most of it. I would assume. You got
yes.
Santa. You have Santa Slade. You have the other. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, whatever I saw on the screen, I just kind of put into, and at the time when I wrote this, I was messing around with alliteration, obviously, too, so I was trying to bring that around as well. And I put little, those little annotation numbers to some of the Easter eggs that I put in there, too, and they're in the author's notes as to where I was going with those.
Yeah, they have a night. They're really good.
Who's Danny? Who's Danny? DeVito?
Murder and Mrs. Danny's Defense. Number 5. Oh, in the movie Lethal Weapon 2, Danny Glover uses a nail gun to defend himself from a would-be killer. So he was using a nail gun in the movie.
Oh,
yep. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
And green tape have no odor. Cookie crumbs. And the LSD tracers. Hmm. And now mention of the wind.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Hatta. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's piece?
Yeah, well, for starters, it's a longer one for you, Stephen, which really tells me that you enjoyed writing this poem. And I can see all the different pieces in it. Reiteration with haste, the reaper stands in shadow. Ignite the nicotine fog, records recorded regularly. You're trying to trip me up with the wording there. But the reaper stands in the shadow is definitely from the movie. And since they haven't seen it, I won't say what I was going to say, but I know that he's on a frame in the movie, and that says it quite well. And then towards the end, nostalgia cannot rewind and grins disintegrate, revealing angst alone under mistletoe. The sadness of the holiday shows there the feeling of loneliness and being alone oozes from that. And then I guess that's more like the middle. See? Longer than a friend indeed will make you bleed the last drops of rain I will ever see as he sent to sidewalk with speed. The part about the last drops that I'll ever see hits a nerve from the movie too. I think you did really, really cool. Great talk.
Thanks, Deb.
You seen the movie, Deb?
Yeah, Deb's seen it.
Yes.
I will just say this, Hatter. The very first line of the movie, Dennis Quaid stumbles into the police station and says, I want to report a murder. And the cop says, who? He says, mine.
Mine.
And take it from there.
Wow. That's cool. Now, Stephen, before I let you disappear into the Saturday evening night, did you want to talk about what's coming up on Poetic Slot?
Sure. Our next show is, of course, The Mortuary of Shadows on Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and we are finally bringing Stephen's favorite book to the mortuary. So we're going to be doing The Stand by Stephen King. We have quotes from the book. We have quotes from the 1994 miniseries. And we have quotes from the 2021 miniseries, All the Right To. Check them out. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and on Monday.
Old box and shooting match. Well done. Thank you. And all the best with that show. Now, did you want to hang around for a bit, Stephen, or have you got to disappear and get some rest?
I can hang for at least one poem.
Well, that is cool, because what we might do then, Deb, is that we might do
read
yours. I was going to go and pick up Gonzo
Post. Perfect.
Yes. So let us do that and
don't change that
mind.
Make me read after Gonzo.
Deb is reading after Gonzo, and
reading.
That's why I'm hosting Hatter. I'm awful. I set these things and I stick by them. So anyway, I have now put We're All Gonzo up on the board, and I am now going to the studio. Well, you've got to go to the studio, Deb, because I'm not logged in, and we've got somebody on hold.
Okay, we have Miss Sky. Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Glad you are here. Now, are you just saying hi and running away, or are you going to listen to Gonzo with us? It's 4 minutes.
I'm listening to Gonzo, and I'm trying to find you a poem.
Cool.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good answer.
Off top. Perfect. AP is the poem on the board. You ready for me to push play?
Please do.
Here we go.
Cool. Alrighty.
The cold stone slab sat flat in the middle of the drab, rat-infested death trap. Lay atop beauty everlasting, grasping for the next breath, rasping, restrained by drastic wraps of plastic. Distant from the edge of a dream, Sleepy seemed to hear a conversation between one voice beaming with esteem and another muffled voice boasting of their successful scheme.
I'm not awake.
Unconsciously aware, her subconscious needing repair, she herself found her mind bouncing through memories past highlights of her despair.
I'm not happy about this marriage.
I'm ecstatic.
This day means the world to me.
I promise to always be true.
You know, for a night, you're a real Prince Charming.
My place is at your side, forever.
You two are made for each other. Are you sure he makes you happy?
Yes, stepmother.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, my queen.
I'm sorry. Is this a bad time?
Wake up!
Sleepy sprung back to life, sliding her body to the side, struggling for breath while trying to cry. Heartbeat in her ears joined by a glorious ring, supplementing sounds of the outside world, the tone enveloping. Ripping through the passive restraint before a rush of blood, she began to faint. Sleepy flipped her body over. Frightened, she gripped her knees, curled her body, and pulled her legs closer. Shivering teeth were chattering and cracked, too little body fat for heat, so no muscles would relax.
Who said that? Where am I?
Dragging a lifeless body slowly over cracks and stacks of cockroach carcasses as darkness intact revealed only grayscale rock and a door without a latch.
Nothing to fear, nothing to fear. Just your most mystical need, the magical mirror. Yeah, that's a crowd cheering for me. Here, this should help.
Rising tall, standing on her feet, her body snapped, contorting, causing anguish and grief. Falling to her knees, no struggle to breathe, she may have been happy had anger not seeped from her core. Every pore forced her into a sleep. Now her eyes finally opened once more, she could see.
Feeling better?
I remember everything.
Good. Now I have something you want.
What could you possibly offer me, except their lives?
The magic mirror winced his cheek, unique as his eyes brightened wide, bearing down his widow's peak.
How could a mirror know?
Magic. Mirror.
Indeed the truth, a mirrored private eye, unconventional sleuth. Any surface reflective can be home to said detective, from a coin kept collected to the shiniest silver tube.
You want to know something really funny? You remember Goldilocks, don't you?
Sleepy could barely contain the rage flowing through her veins.
Of course you know Goldilocks. If I'm not mistaken, she shot you and your entire family with... there's three bears, a girl named Red, Jack. I remember Jack was there.
Hands grasped the framed glass, tearing straps and cracking clasps.
Oh, and the queen was watching. Goldie, that yellow-haired little backstabber and her three fat furry friends who shot your dearly beloved?
Well, they're just below us in the kitchen.
Well, the bears are. She's on her way. If you run fast enough, you might just catch her. Or maybe they'll kill all your loved ones again. Oh, wait.
Sleepy smashed the frame furiously, causing damage quite severe. So much for the mouthy magic mirror.
Oh, no, I'm still here.
Mirror's face scattered across each piece of glass in Sleepy's personal space.
And I'll be watching you.
Give us a good show.
Did I hear Frank in there?
Sorry, Hedda?
Did I hear Frank? See if I can find the post. Sounded just like Frank.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He was the voice. He was the voice. Nothing to fear, nothing to fear.
Yeah, but there was a voice that, you know, could have heard on one of Frank's reads, but this is a long time ago in his creation.
Yeah, okay. This is so good.
Stop. That is the production that we are all gone through. A fantastic piece of work, Gonzo. I love how you build up the sound. Deb, I've got a lot of feet on my line. Somebody? and I don't know whose line it is, but it's squeaking and echoing on me badly.
Oh, this.
Let's see who that could be. Well, it's more, a lot better now. Whoever.
Yeah. Okay. Let me tell them.
Much better. Whatever you're doing, Deb. Anyways, look. My thanks to Gonzo for putting all the time, effort, and work that I know he does into producing the show and those particular pieces, because he's got multiple people reading, he's got multiple people contributing, and then he's got the music and the sound effects that create some amazing production sound and production value. So particularly well done. Stephen, did you want to make a comment on Gonzo's piece?
I've been reading these as he's been writing them too, or listening to them, I should say, and I've really been enjoying too the storyline and the way he's been going about it. And I made a comment on this saying that, you know, it's like he's giving us the in-betweens and behind the scenes of what actually goes on, you know, in Disney. These people don't actually like each other. When they're singing on camera, they look like they like each other, but obviously there's a lot of hate going on back there. But yeah, I thought his stuff is just amazing. It's awesome.
Well done. Thank you, Stephen. And Deb, did you want to say a few words about Where All Gonzo's Piece?
Well, for one, I love the way that Stephen just put that about the behind the scenes thing. That was a really cool comment. But yeah, I think that he just amazes me with some of these things between the twists on the original story and like you had already mentioned, the time he puts into like the sound effects and that echoed maniacal voice that he used once or twice, that was probably what made Hatter think of Frank. But like, he's just completely brilliant, and I mean, we're on part three, and now I have to wait a whole week to hear the part four. It's nice to have it to look forward to. I'm really thrilled that he's doing these and sharing them with us, and can't wait.
No, brilliant work by Gonzo, and thank you to Stephen. I see you've got to go, so thank you for hanging with us, Stephen. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Now, Sky, you were going back and you were having a look at your great compendium of pieces to see if there was something that you wanted to share with us. How are you going?
I'm still looking.
Sure, that's cool. That's all good. That's all good, because I'm going to put Deb's poem up on the board while you're doing that. And Deb's is, I think, a brevity, Deb. I'm just going to repost that for you, and we might get you to go and read yours next step.
Okie dokie, which one did you? Yes. Okay. All right, this brevity, and it's called She Stirs the Pit with Poison Shit. Here we go. Venom spreads with toxin-laced kisses, steel snare locks, stomping hisses. Snake slithers up, trap door slams, inside the keyholes, tumbler jams. Prey vacates, spotlight shine. Slime trail dries, dehydrating spine. Reptile skin fries.
That sort of slithers down the page kind of nicely, Deb, in terms of the individual and the shape. I like the shape. Very nice shape. That noted. Hatter, did you want to say something about Deb's brevity?
I was running down the hall. Give me a minute to reread.
Oh, that's okay. No dramas. We can have running down the hall. Sky, did you get to hear Deb's brevity?
Yes, I don't know if you want me to comment on Deb because I'm on your show. No, but
We need a button.
I thought you were going to laugh. No, I loved it. That picture is is quite the picture. I actually listened to it without listening to you without looking into the picture. So now I'm processing that for a moment. This is an excellent piece. I loved the storyline. I like this little shape you've got going here. Of course, you have the venom, the toxin, the snake slithers. And I see how you have the little slithering snake. It's really cool to read along, but it's also really cool to listen to you and then to click and be like, oh, there's these little things happening. And then, of course, the dehydrating spine file.
No.
yeah, you can keep those no, AP.
I have been very restrained on the subject of snakes. Style. I have not said a word. I haven't put any slithering creatures up on the board. I have been so restrained, I can't begin to tell you. And my poem is not even about snakes. How's that? You know,
well,
I
thought it was an
I have shown great
step.
Self-restraint. I have shown great self-restraint. So, now, if you haven't found your piece, Sky, I will do mine while you are still searching. So,
you can do yours first, but I just put mine on the board. Okay. But, yeah, no, do yours first. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Your show was a little earlier today, so it's not so terrible.
It is.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's an hour early, so that's a permanent move. So there you go. Hannah?
Yeah.
Hannah?
Sky.
Yes, Hannah.
I made up a word and they caught me. They made me change it.
You made up a word and what?
He made up
they
a
made
word and we both said we had to change it.
They caught me. It's what, yeah.
I love when people make up words.
It's the walk of shame.
I just want it noted that I did not make up any words in my poem. This all has words out of the English dictionary. But the poem has a very, very boring title. It's simply called Venom. And it goes, of course, a little bit like this. Acting quickly or arching slow, a liquid enters determined to flow. Slowly disperses, surrounds as closes, the amber courses for weakness exposes. Frailty and family bonds they do break, all of the poses, those that just take. Ones who pretended, others hope to wet, where thorns roses, cuts burns when forget. Those driven by fear, soon lost all alone, their journey to take, falsehoods find stone. If among stirs vile, basting upon source, dripping within evil, so deep is that source. Spitting the words of hearts now died, pain and distemper, it's okay, I've just lied. The liquid is burning around, body burns, for anger to others, all good inside burns, until cells wasted, dissolved into oil, death, others fated, own remains spoil. Wish ill, stain your own denim, once a protection, instead dying in venom. End poem.
Yeah, everything was but trying to suck the venom out. That didn't do any good, you know. Finally felt, never mind.
No. I quite like it, Adam. It has its own little feel to it. Did you want to say a few words?
I did. I actually, there were so many different parts in this. If you just go to each stanza, there's some type of explanation, I guess is the word. Like one, I'm going to go right to my comment. Like the posers that just... It's okay, I just lied. Or the liquid is burning around body yearns for anger to others. All good inside burns. And then that the stanza that you close out with, for cannot wish ill, stain your own denim, and once a protection instead dying
in Venom. I like all the different avenues that you took us on as far as Venom that didn't come from a, as you said, snake or scorpion or spider, whatever. Different aspects, like how it can be Venom through a family or how it can be, I love the word posers, all of the posers that just take, I don't know why I love, those fake people, I don't know why I've never thought to use the word posers. I love it. But, yeah, there are so many amazing metaphors to this one that it's awesome. And, I mean, I know I keep saying it to both of you, but I'm so thrilled that your muses are kicking. And, AP, yours has been on overdrive for 2 months now, at least. That's awesome.
Thank you, Deb. Yeah, no, it works pretty well this month. Sky, what did you think of this one?
I thought it was an excellent piece. And I love how you brought in the venom and how it can be very poisonous to many different places, especially down here, I mean, or rather up here, further up, the fertility of family. Bonds do break all opposers, those that just hate. And I think it's those little bites, those little, I guess I would say, I know you didn't mention snake, but those little bits of drop of swallowed poison, I think, that build over time and can definitely poison relationships and prevent them from blooming. And it's amazing how far a little bit of that poison can go and how it kind of just mounts itself. And I kind of see that within your home, you know, those driven by fear, soon lost, all alone, their journey to take, falls to find stone. And I think a lot of times people do things in fear, and they don't make sure for the right choices. And of course, all the way down to, where was this? Right here. The liquid is burning around body urine, so it's kind of like coming to a head down here. From the angers to others, all good inside burns. It's something you can't quite get out of your system. And sometimes people have it so embedded in their system that it affects their other relationships. I think it was an excellent piece.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, it just worked its way nicely down the page for me this morning, which was which is always handy when that happens. So and as I said, I definitely stayed away from the slithery creatures because I thought, well, you know, people might show up, and you know, if the minute I start doing that, it's the minute I start getting everybody waved away. So anyway, there you go. Now, G Lars has called and said you can certainly call in, G Lars. But I was going to get you to go next, Sky, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Do you want me to put it on?
If you could post it straight up, that would be great. Yeah, thanks,
yeah.
Sky.
Hold on. So I have this really cool aspect in my Microsoft Word documents where I kind of just write in certain words and I can bring it up through my titles. So
yes.
I had to go far back for the word venom, but I found one.
Okay.
So
well done, you.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, but I have to open up multiple files and then I just type in the word and then it highlights where I have certain words. So yeah, so this is from 2011. So it's
in Word.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
That's in Word.
Right, it's called, huh?
That's in Word.
Yeah. Microsoft Word. I'm very meticulous with the way I organize things, so I can just do that. But anyway, so this has the word venom in it, so we're going with it. Where shriveled flowers seem to bloom, by Sky Darkholm. 2011. Pressed against the cheeks of lily are the pearls that the world could weep and breath on the pearls of forsaken sky. And in these ghost chambers, where even years seem to polish all its stains, are rotting emerald teeth like venom fangs. They curl over the tight over tight-lipped lies and squint through peering deep black eyes. I see them, yellow marbles reaching from the dim, rotting in an epistemic body, too young, yet too old for its skin. A dust of silent sound, it wept as it does still. A night when time can never kill. And when I'm foolish enough to think I can see through dark rooms, plastered latches, lantern dreams that seem to starve in caverns of faint words, little splits of self-scars, I remember I'm only a shadow wrapping on its bars. It's always dark in the room where shriveled flowers seem to bloom. And home.
Well, that was a very neat read and a very appropriate piece for the show, because I did love how it had that you introduced the venom that seemed to polish all it contained, the rotting emerald teeth like venom fangs. What a brilliant stanza about flowers and how they look and how they age and die when we're watching them. So thank you. That was a great piece. Now, I am going to get Deb, you to pick up our new caller, who I think is G. Lars, that's on hold.
Here we go.
Yes, it is I, G. Lars. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hello, 612. Is that you, G. Lars?
That is me, G. Lars, 612.
Ah, well done you. Thank you. Thank you for calling us, and thank you for joining the show, and great to have you with us. Now, Deb, did you want to give a comment on Sky's piece, please?
Absolutely. Yeah, Sky, I love the metaphors that you used in here, too. It's stuff like the night when time can never kill, or dark rooms, plastered latches, lantern dreams that seem to starve in caverns of faint words, little slits of stealthy scars. The little slits, the scars, all the ways that the venom moves through. But I find it fascinating, where shriveled flowers seem to bloom. What a brilliant title. And I agree, the rotting emerald teeth section was really awesome. I was going to say that too, but hey, it's the host's prerogative to take some of the best lines. A dusk of silent sound, it wept as it does still. There's an overwhelming sense of sadness in that little couplet right there. And then at almost the very end, I remember I'm only a shadow wrapping on its bars, but I remember I'm only a shadow is a really, really sad line. Awesome, right? Good choice, Sky.
Great work. Now, and great comment. Hatter, did you want to make a comment about...
Yes, I do. You hit on one of the lines that I said that seemed to polish as it contains a rotting emerald teeth like venom fangs. But the next line also, they curl over tight-lipped lies and squint through peering bead black eyes. You know, I would say I could recognize Sky's style, but she's so versatile and different in every aspect of how she wants to write that I think she's more than appendectious. She's an appendectious poem. She can go right with the writer or the left.
Ambidextrous poem. You're going ambidextrous, you know, left or right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Fun comment.
Never know what's going to be. Never know what's going to be. Good job, Sky.
Thank you, Sky. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing that poem with us. It was quite a beautiful ride, so thank you. Before we get to G. Lars, because G. Lars is going to be our last poem for the day, Hatter, it is your responsibility to come up with a subject for next week. Do you have the subject for next week at hand?
Can I just interrupt one moment? I'm sorry, because I was on mute the entire time, and I don't know when I was on mute. So I don't know if you guys heard thank you and what I was saying, because I was on mute, and I don't know.
No, please. I didn't realize. Sorry.
I didn't realize either, and I don't know when I did it. Thank you. Thank you, AP. And thank you, Deb. And I said that it is quite a melancholy write. You're quite right. And then I said to Hatter, I was like, somebody's answering. I'm like, maybe they can hear me. And then I looked. And Hatter, thank you so much. And I was telling you that I do actually write in both my left and right hand, so you're not far off the mark.
That's hilarious.
Well done. Great work.
What's happening?
I didn't know.
All right. I am going to say goodnight to you guys now that I rudely interrupted you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, it's all good. Oh, thank you, Charlie. That's great. Well, great comment,
thank
Hannah.
You. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Nice definitely.
Okay. Now, Hannah, you're going to tell me what the topic is for next week. What is the topic for next week, Hatter?
Why aren't there any wizards anymore? Why aren't there no magic, no miracles? That's right.
Why aren't there any wizards anymore? Okay.
Yeah. What happened to the magic? What happened to the magic? Where's the magic?
What happened to
Where
the
are
magic?
The good guys?
What happened to the magic? Where did the magic go? What happened to the magic?
Perfect question.
Yeah?
Perfect question.
What
Where's all the magic?
I'm going to have to think about that.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. I agree with you. Where did the magic go? Okay, righto. That's going to get us thinking, Hatter, so thank you. Now, Chilaz, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for dialing in. And your poem I have copied again onto the board so that it's right at the bottom there so you can see it.
Okay, thank you very much. Wasn't sure when I was on mute, and I must apologize for joining late. I was just thinking, what's been going on in my life lately, and I forgot about it. But did write a poem, maybe skirting the edge. It's short, so I'll just read it.
Okay.
FJB. Enormously illustrative pictures about the war. Each green block is a division of about 10,000 men. On the tripod chart, the general moves them. It looks clean. Move the red blocks back. 'Tis but chess, with blood on the checkerboard, tank battles and more cruise missiles. I do not care about Ukraine, nor this load. Now again on the brink, and this new little conflict is dead serious. America's leader is a reckless and feckless idiot. Our enemy's bombs are poison pointed at all of our cities. The end.
Indeed.
And
G-Lars, it is a truth of the world that for the last 30, 40 years, you know, we've had those missiles pointing at each other, and they continue to point at each other every second of the day. The only difference,
longer than that, my friend, yes.
Yeah, but the only difference here is that, you know, we now have a little, you know, tete-a-tete going on where we're sort of one step removed from both nations sort of, you know, having a go at each other. And that's a really dangerous place to be. Wherever your duties or fears or whatever lie, it's a very dangerous place to be. And we ought to remember that venom that sits there between the large nations puts us all in a very, very dangerous place. So thank you for bringing it to our attention and reminding us, as we should be reminding ourselves. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
The venom is actually the stuff going on around us all, the as it spreads, then spreads even further into all the pricing and the conflict, and it just keeps growing. It really shows, like I said, it shows venom, and the venom spreading. Pretty clever, Brett.
Mm. Thanks, Ted. And Hatter, did you want to say a few words about G. Lars' piece?
Yeah, I got the vision in a lot of the movies about World War II. They're the war rooms. Usually there's a big table with an ocean in front of it. Everybody's got one of those canes that the crap table guys got to retrieve the dice. And they're pushing ships around and engaging them in battles. That's the vision I got with the checkerboard, Tisbet chess, with blood on the checkerboard.
They were listening on the radio, or Norman Schwarzkopf press conference. Look, you know, I'm fed up and scared, right? I won't lie. So maybe I'm skirting the bounds of no politics here, but the brinkmanship has got me fed up and scared. That's all.
Well written.
Thank you.
Glad
I could join. Thank you.
And thank you, G. Lars, for calling in, and thank you for sharing that piece with us. It's a little bit haunting and a little bit scary at the same time, but that's exactly where the clock points us stand. So thank you.
Just wrote it today.
It's exactly right. You're absolutely right.
Thanks.
So I should thank everybody for the show and helping out the show. I should certainly thank Deb for calling in as host and for helping me out since I came back with about 2 minutes to spare. Thank you to Hatter for all of his contributions, great piece and comments. Thank you to G. Lars for joining us and sharing your piece with us. Thank you to Sky, to Stephen for doing the same thing. And thank you, of course, to We Are All Gonzo for his wonderful series and we got to hear the third part of, I think, the five-part series that we've got today and in the show, which was fantastic. And for next week, the theme is where's all the magic gone, Hatter? I think is the sort of summary of got to. Where's all the magic gone? So let's see where people take that, because it's a nice open topic. So,
send in the clowns on Monday. Remind everyone at 10 o'clock on Monday, we're going to send in the clowns. And actually, the AP himself is singing the cover song for the opening. So be there or be square.
I am.
Great show, Ben.
I am. I'm singing the cover song. Sorry, Hatter.
Monday.
Yeah,
that's
covering,
Monday.
Send in the clown.
Yeah. Send in the clown. Go and pick the word bank. Go and pick your overarching comment and go to it. So a great set of pictures and images, Deb, and lots of content there to read to write to. So well done for that.
Yeah, we have
show.
Homework to do.
We do have – well, we always have homework with Deb. Now, Hatter, did you want to say a few words?
You know, I think I saw a piece that we missed last night from Sweet. Did we read that?
I think it's something she wants to read to you, honey. So maybe I think she wants to read it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
great show, AP.
Thank you.
Describe the other definition of venom again, please.
I can certainly do that, Hatter, because I actually deliberately chose the word venom because it had those both meanings, because it did, of course, have the poisonous substance, rah, 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 rah. But the second definition is extreme malice and bitterness shown in someone's attitudes, speech, or actions was where I picked up, in my piece. It was that longer-term sort of settling of sort of nastiness, for want of a better word. So that's why I like the word. I think it's a great word, by the way. I really do. So,
look at how many examples you were able to throw out, because there's so many. I just took one little, but it was awesome. It was a great topic. Fun show, and it's foggy as all get out here. So I am leaving. It was fun hanging with you guys.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you. We're going to close up the show. Thank you, Hatter. Thank you, G. Lars, for joining us. And thanks everybody for contributing. And we'll catch you in a week's time. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter.
Thank you, AP.